Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
I see you shaking your head. You already know what I'm on about.
He's not coming back. I'm telling you right now, he's not coming back.
Why not?
He's not coming back, but we'll delve into who that is in a second. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. I was going to say punk then.
Why you got to squash the dream?
We're talking about NRL, but firstly, I guess going off that song is a theme song for one CM Punk. Apparently,
he's not doing anything.
Miles thinks he's going to be, I'm assuming, signed by AEW, is what you're sort of thinking.
I'm assuming he's going to be All Elite.
Well, so is everybody else. So, what rumor? Just before we move on, what rumor? Because I read a little bit, but.
There's two out there, him and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, well, the Daniel Bryan one I think is more plausible.
I think it's more legit, but that would be as big a get as what AEW has gotten as star wise.
Well, first
since Chris Jericho, since John Moxley,
It will be
like that. That is big. That is superstar.
Yeah. Oh, all the eyeballs will be on them. I mean, lucky right now the WWE's got Cena back, so right now all the eyeballs are on them. But that would just be a huge.
That was sort of sticky.
I know. They've got to try and get
eyeballs on their bums on seats now that they've actually got people back in the crowd. So that was pretty obvious but there was going to be some sort of big return, whether it be Cena, you've seen Goldberg come back as well. So
people will still watch because it's Cena. So it will, man, would it be interesting?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
CM Punk debut is just the week before SummerSlam or something like that.
Well, supposedly, AEW's next pay-per-view is, I think it's called All Out. Is in Chicago.
Of course it is.
I'm just saying it's in Chicago. I'm not saying anything.
That chance is going to be the whole 3 hours, but we'll see. We'll move on to round 19 of the NRL. So I guess we'll get sort of. What are you pointing at first?
18.
Sorry, my bad. It is 18. I'm losing it because I don't believe in rumors. But anyway.
You are, see, I've thrown you off.
You've completely thrown me off. It is round 18. My apologies. So the first game was the Eels beating the Titans 26-8.
You've also been thrown off by Aaron Rodgers rumors. That's what you've been thrown off by.
Yeah, well, that's because there's money involved. But anyway, I'll talk about when it's my money, of course it is.
Potential winnings involved.
In a 15,000 crowd wasn't sort of too bad, but yeah, the Eels beat the Titans 26-8.
The Gold Coast just sort of come out super flat.
Oh, and the Eels come out just super hot in that first half.
It was just such a contrast whether it was game plan. I don't know. Some of the teams that have been interrupted this round and over the next month. With different preparations and things like that, the Gold Coast really are one of those teams that do not have any different change of plans or anything like that.
No Queensland team.
They just did not come out to play in this game.
No Queensland team, unfortunately, should have any issues. They should be thriving off this, and you're right. They're not.
Of course they should.
Honestly, it was easy just to sort of peg this on the halves. For the Titans, because the completion rate was absolutely sort of terrible. I don't know where they're going to go forward.
I don't think it's a halves problem. And by the end of the game, both halves were actually off the ground for the Gold Coast. Fogarty had like a compound fracture of his ring finger, so that ruled him out. And then by the end of the game, Ash Taylor was gone for HIA and he failed it. So they didn't have their two sort of, you know, their two point, yeah, you know, creative players out there. To me, it's not a halves problem, and it hasn't been that all year. They sorely miss a class number nine.
Yeah, that's fair. That's plain absolutely and fair. Their that's do not you're right. That's off. Probably more fair.
Just don't get off to good starts. Like Aaron Clark is a solid, you know, a solid dummy half, but he's not giving you anything. He's not giving you any spark. It's poor play out of there, and they're sorely missing it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That is definitely fair. Look, I quite liked the play of Clint Gutherson. I mean, I felt like he was everywhere in this game personally.
I mean, he generally is, though.
He generally is, but I don't know. I feel like he's been a little bit off, or just a little bit tad behind, you know, probably because he wasn't in the New South Wales side last year and he wasn't in this year. You know, they probably threw injuries as well, but I felt like he's been just a little bit lacking, you know, but I mean, this game, he shone. He really did.
Well, he's going to be forced to do a lot more creativity as well, playmaking, and you know, do you know what I mean? Now that Moses has gone for another couple of weeks, it's come out that that he suffered a very tiny fracture in his back in Origin 3 and played like 70-odd minutes with that. So, you know, a testament to him and his toughness to get through, you know, an Origin game with that sort of injury, so that sort of ruled him out for the next couple of weeks.
Brown just has to justify his.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that first try that he scored was just pure unadulterated speed, straight out of dummy half, down the right edge, and the Gold Coast had nothing for it, just absolutely nothing for it. It was unbelievable, but. Yeah. This game really was also the inability of the Gold Coast to be able to wrap up the ball. 15 offloads in the first half for Parramatta. Proctor being binned for a ridiculous, you know, top, yeah, lifting above the horizontal. It was totally worth 10 minutes in the bin. That's one of the worst ones I've seen this year of a lifting tackle. And in that 10 minutes, Parramatta scores three tries, and the Gold Coast have 2% of possession. So it's unbelievable, like how something like that, just how a sin bin and a silly play by, you know, an experienced player and, you know, somebody who's been captaining the side throughout this year. Do you know what I mean? Has cost the Gold Coast dearly. And they just could not get back into the game after that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's weirdly, Kevin Proctor I'm talking about, he's weirdly influential on this team.
He is, but when he makes silly mistakes, it's a case of some of those players, especially in teams that aren't going so well. And I sort of wholly and solely put my finger at Scott Drinkwater at the moment for the Cowboys. It's trying too hard. You're in a slump, and your big guns that are out there, they're trying to put their hand, but they're trying too hard. Sometimes it just doesn't come off. And this was one of those games where Proctor he had a bit of a shocker, and it just somebody else too that's lacking in this side too, and it's glaringly obvious. It's David Fifita.
Yeah, it is. You're not really.
He had like 8 runs going up until like the 65th minute. 8.
Yeah.
That's it. And then he gets two, you know, two late opportunistic tries at the end of the game. It was one try at the end of the game. I think one was denied. But it he just does not get involved enough.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, I don't know. Honestly, I think that injury that he had sort of last year, you know, still is probably lingering there, if you know what I mean, because he doesn't seem to that explosive. You know, he came back.
Well, geez, he had a pretty hot start to the year.
Yeah, he did. But you're right. I was just going to say, and Scotty Drinkwater, he's only trying so hard because he's not really getting much help in that side, personally.
We'll talk
about the Cowboys later. But yeah. The Eels, look, they're a funny team. They're honestly one of the hardest teams to pick. It's hard for me to pick them a lot of the times because even though they're in the top four, they're a weird one. You just don't know going in if they're going to win or not. As weird as that sounds.
I think it's a matter of, I guess, they're sort of beating the teams that they should. And, you know, they're in that top four for a reason. So it'll just be the test, coming up for them, which will be, I guess, in the next sort of few weeks. They've got the Raiders next week. Then they've got the Roosters, the Rabbitohs and the Seagulls in a 3-week span. Yeah. Then I guess a nice easy win in North Queensland. And then their last two rounds are the Storm and the Panthers.
Ooh,
so that's a rough ride.
What's that, 1, 2, 3, was that 6 or 7 teams you just named there?
There's 7 rounds to go.
So you would think, and that's a lot of top 8 teams there. You would think you're going to have realistically, if you're going to have premiership credentials, you're going to realistically have to win at least 4 of those games. And that's not going to be easy.
You've got to knock off an array of, you know, whether it's the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, the Seagulls, the Storm, the Panthers, you've got to knock off 3 of them.
Yeah, and if you don't, they're going to be in big, big trouble. They'll probably still stay in the 8 for the rest of the year, but they're going to be, I still think personally they might be in a little bit of trouble without Mitchell Moses, but we'll just take that as it comes.
Yeah. And look, the Gold Coast, I think, have got a fairly favourable sort of run home. You know, they've only got the Rabbitohs and the Storm in round 22 and 23 that are sort of really, you know, big games, I guess, for them that would be, you know, very much potential losses. But they've got the Dragons, the Bulldogs, the Cowboys in the next 3 weeks. So they are all extremely winnable games. And then their last two games going into the finals is against the Knights and the Warriors. So, look, their destiny's in their own hands, and they just need to start performing, and they just need to start pulling the finger out.
Next game was Manly beating the Dragons 32-18 without the two boy Boots brothers and also without Daly Sherry Evans. So
this was a game, and even though the Dragons have started their their guys' suspension over the next couple of weeks. This was a game that was ripe for the picking for St. George, and they wasted the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, look, at the start, the first half, they were they looked like they were on, personally, I thought. I mean,
they were going up the middle and going strong.
Yeah. So, and they still had the right – I mean, if you look at their 1-13, even in this, you know, without the people out, they still had the right pieces there. You know, Jack Bird actually got moved to centre of all places. But you still had your Corey Norman, you still had your Ben Hunt, and you still had your Andrew McCullough.
That's right, exactly. You've still and got Sims. Influential players.
So you still got influential players. So you're right. It was definitely ripe for the picking. I don't know. That second half, I just sort of thought they just come out of the shed. You know, talking about flat in the first game, they come out of the sheds flat in the second half.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That for the first 15 minutes of the second half, St. George had 3 sets of 6, 3 errors.
Yeah.
Like you just can't claw your way back into a game like that. They ended up only having 43% of possession throughout the whole game. Like they were up 2 points at halftime, 14-12. I don't know what the hell happened at halftime.
They also missed a huge amount of tackles on that second half. I mean, they ended up losing that. Stat, well, winning if you want to look at it that way, 45-16. But
yeah, no, there's a huge amount of miss. That's a stat line you don't want to be winning.
No, you don't. I thought it was a fairly, I guess he kind of had to, being sort of the senior leader, but I felt Kieran Form was pretty good in this game.
Mm.
He kind of had to be.
He was sublime in this game.
Yeah, he kind of had to be, obviously. I mean,
taking on the line, Schuster was moved into the halves. Foran was taken on the line.
Yeah.
Unbelievable how he sort of turned the clock back, and I guess how much I think St. George just began to implode, in the last sort of 20 minutes of that half. They just no ball security, couldn't hang on to it. Like you said, they'll drop it off tackles left, right, and center. It was it really was a poor effort in that second half, especially since they played fairly well in that first half and really gave themselves a shot to try and knock off Manly in this game, even though they didn't have their big playmakers there due to being rested after Origin. So, yeah, no, the Dragons totally let this one slip away.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, you're right. And that was that same sort of Seabus crowd. So the most of the people stayed around too. So that was just over 15,000, which is pretty good, you know, considering the makeshift.
By the end of it, people had started to slowly filter out of there. But, Look, so the Seagulls sort of got an all right sort of run home. They got the Storm in a couple of weeks. But
I think they're pretty comfortable in the top eight.
All very winnable games for Manly. Tigers, Sharks, Eels, Raiders, surprisingly, Bulldogs, Cowboys.
Surprisingly, their odds, to win the premiership is still pretty healthy at $12. So it's an interesting. I mean, obviously you got the Storm at $2.50, and then the Panthers, but still $12 is still fairly low for a sixth place team, so to speak. But then I suppose when you've got time to avoid a bit, you sort of got to have it sort of that low.
No, that's right. And I guess they're sort of trying to load manage him at the moment too. Like, he's only played what 9 games this year, so. That's what it is, isn't it? That's what it looks like to me anyway.
Yeah, no, it is. That's fair. It is load management.
Sort of doing a little bit of.
I didn't know Kawhi Leonard was playing football, but anyway.
That's it. Look, the Dragons have got. Yep. I think that their run home is. Oh, I don't know. It's not super tough, but yeah, they're in the eight at the moment. You know, the Gold Coast and the Rabbitohs over the next couple of weeks. They've also got the Panthers, the Roosters, and the Rabbitohs again in the last round. So I think that sort of makes it a bit tough for them.
Ever since this debacle, I think I put a line through them, to be completely honest.
I mean, you can, but they've had some disappointing losses this year, especially sort of after the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. You know, nobody really saw them sort of coming out and playing the way they did. They were playing really well, and yeah, they've just fallen by the wayside.
Well, we'll move north of the Gold Coast. We'll go up to Cowboys Stadium, where the Roosters beat the Cowboys 34-18.
I was at this game.
Yes, you were.
got some super tickets. You got a face full of sun in that second half because this game was moved forward to a 3 p.m. kickoff instead of the original 5:30. Just due to the COVID situation that happened in Melbourne. So the Melbourne-Newcastle game was moved up to the Gold Coast so they could have another doubleheader on down there. So the game up here in Townsville was moved up until the 3 o'clock game, which wasn't too bad, but there was a little bit of sort of confusion and a little throughout the city. Because they had the second week of V8s up here in a row on, so they sort of suspended racing while the Cowboys were on, and then got going people back everywhere. After that, after the kick, after the game had finished. So walking back to the car was awesome because you could hear the race start up again, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah, nice. Taberai Fadeau backing up and then getting 271 meters. He's a bit of an excitement machine. I mean, we've always thought of him as an excitement machine, but he's starting to creep into that sort of. He might be consistently in this Queensland side for the next few years and beyond.
I can only hope so, and I think that this is going to be the way forward for the Cowboys, especially till the end of the year. Anyway, Valentine Holmes still out for another couple of weeks with that shoulder injury after Origin 3. I think what would be the move that I would do, and I don't have any coaching credentials at all, but, watch enough football, I think there's going to have to be some sort of move with Val Holmes into the centres.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got no choice but to leave Tabuai Fadeau at fullback. I really don't think there's any other choice, barring injury, of course, but... With players out there that are healthy.
You mean when he's back, when Valentine Holmes is
when,
back?
When Val's back, I think that I think he goes into the centres.
I agree. I just don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. But I agree. I just don't see it happening.
Personally, you just don't get that kind of play out of him. He's more of a bash and crash type fullback rather than the absolute speed machine and elusiveness of what Hammarsdale provides. So I just, it would be foolish to take him away from there, especially what you've seen this week and what we could see over the next couple of weeks. It's basically another audition for him to keep that number one jersey. I don't care how much Valentine Holmes is getting paid. I don't care.
Oh, you can,
if he's a $1 million winger or $1 million center, then that's what he is in
his
team.
Yeah, that's fine. You need him in the side.
I just don't like that they have to justify him being at fullback because purely on the price that he's being paid. It's just like, well, whatever is best for the team, then that's what the coach should be doing. And don't worry about how much is going into their bank balance every week.
They were extremely competitive. Again, another sort of first half, you know, 14-12 scoreline, and then sort of again, like, it really, it's been a carbon copy of these first few games. And then coming in the second half, it was just a bit of an explosion by the Roosters. It's literally been a carbon copy all three of these first games. Jesus.
And that explosion came in the last sort of 20 minutes of that game where the Cowboys were really, really into this. I was once again sort of worried about the Cowboys' edge defense, and it was, you know, fairly easily exposed by the Roosters in that first half. All three of their first half tries, all down the same corridor, and all by just simple decoy plays in between Lemuelu and Dearden. It was all too easy. Dearden, and as the second half, they started to show a little bit more resolve towards in that second half, and then once you started getting to sort of the final 15 of that game, they started to drop off tackles. I think they'd sort of gas themselves out a little bit, and when it was 24-18 with the game sort of there in the balance, you know, obviously the massive turning point was the Scott Drinkwater double movement, which was pretty obvious. Of a double movement, and basically straight after that, the Roosters go 100 meters and shut the door. And that's what I mean, like what I was saying before, that Drinkwater just trying that little bit too hard, because it was so obvious that it was a double movement.
Yeah.
He had players all over him. His ball carrying arm hit the ground, and he couldn't help himself but to reach out and try and score. And it was on the third tackle, and it was off two set restarts as well down that end. So I think the pressure sort of got to them, especially to him, a little bit. And, you know, the Roosters, whether you want to call it smart, whether you want to call it, you know, like we've called it before, not in the spirit of the game by giving away just blatant and obvious ruck infringements and being offside just to cut down the time that the Cowboys have. Honestly, somebody, and this, you know, I'm taking my Cowboys hat off, somebody should have been in the bin for the Roosters.
Right. When you have somebody should have been in the bin. You have ruck infringements and you deliberately slow the play down. That's an offensive. Sorry. Yeah.
Guys are 4 and 5 meters offside on their try line.
Yeah.
No, it was unbelievable. Right. And the referee Ashley Klein just let it happen.
It's holding the play down. So that's happened. Yeah, you're right. That's happened before.
Even after Hammer in the first half had, I think it was a massive line break and got around everybody. And yeah. I'm sure it was Tedesco. It might have been Joey Manu that was holding him down as the rest of his team's getting back on side. No sin bin. And it's just like, come on, man. Give me a break.
You mentioned Dearden before. I think his defensive lapses are a bit questionable. I don't know what they're sort of teaching him at training, but I think he doesn't read the defensive line or the defensive plays that well at all when he's on defense.
No, and it's a bit of continuity as well with the guys that are outside him. So it's, you know, and communication. So
yeah, but it's also his lapses of like.
He himself is a good defender in the middle of the field, but it's trial right. on defense.
He, you know, for a small guy, he puts his body on the line. I'm just saying, he can sort of jump out of that line quickly a bit too, not often, but enough to, just the play reading isn't I mean, he's still young, but isn't that sort of great? So I think it's something that he needs to work on, or they need to work on for him personally. So Reece Robson was, you know, in a losing side, was just sort of was pretty big in this game. Not only obviously just a try, but topping the tackle count at 60 tackles.
He's a machine. Like, yeah, he's I think he's getting better as, you know, his career sort of goes on. I think he's starting to show the potential that the Cowboys have wanted out of him after signing him last year.
Yeah.
I think it's good. It's onwards and upwards for him, which is great. Tom Dearden, 34 tackles. Like, yeah, let's not underestimate that.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, he's a kid that puts his body on the line. I'm just saying, like, no one's talking to him on the outside or the inside, or he's just having sometimes that little brain snap. That's all. So they're just the continuity. But we've said that for the Cowboys at each and every game for the year. So yeah.
And that's, I mean, when you miss 52 tackles for the game,
exactly right.
Like you don't give yourself a whole lot of hope, yep. Especially when you can't wrap up the ball and guys like Matty Kavalu who are, you know, they're solid first graders, but man. Sometimes they make guys like that look like absolute genuine superstars.
He sneakily sometimes just can pour those tries on. Hey,
he's as a professional try scorer as there is at the moment. You know, well, given the opportunities that he's had.
Yeah, you're right. Raiders.
Look, 15,000. Yeah, nearly 16,000 there.
I was going to mention that. That was pretty good for a Saturday arvo.
It was a good crowd. There was Laurie Spina Shield on.
Yeah.
That weekend too. So there was a lot of kids from around the region up for this. Yeah, for this round. So you could sort of tell that there was a lot of a younger presence there, with some of the chants and stuff that was sort of going up. So it was once again, it's a lack of composure by the Cowboys. Hey.
That Hammer should be, you know, when they have those Critter Cups and all that, you know, when kids are there, they should be marketing Hammer big time. You should be able to buy Hammers there. Like, you know, kids would just go crazy for that kind of stuff. And just
Laurie Spina Shield kids and stuff like that. They are, I can't remember if they get him for free or they get him like for extremely discounted prices. So
but I'm saying,
not sure what happens at the new stadium, because I'm sure they don't want to give away too much for free at the new stadium, because you've got to pay for it somehow.
Big blow up Hammers and just kids just going crazy. I think they should market the hell out of him.
They've got to do something. Yeah, absolutely. They've got to
do
something.
That would be a huge idea. Every time he scores a run, you just smash it, because it would be a nice little sound. So anyway.
Yeah, like those thunder sticks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Same thing, exactly. Back down at Gold Coast, the Raiders beat the Sharks 34-18.
Interesting sort of game. Really see this one coming.
It was a theme again. You know, close scoreline at half time, and then sort of the second half, Canberra would usually go the other way and then falter off, went the other way this time and actually, you know, compose themselves and kept their composure to win in the second half.
Yeah, look, and it started very oddly as well with the Jordan Rapana try that ended up being an 8-point try, which I didn't think was warranted at all. I don't know what you think, but I didn't think that was warranted for any sort of an extra kick at goal for any sort of rough play after the fact. I just didn't see it.
No, I mean, maybe a rapport, but probably didn't really need that. You're right, that extra 2 points. I don't think it was controversial, but I don't think it was warranted.
Nah.
I do agree. I just don't think it was as controversial as, I mean, it's only happened in the first 8 minutes, so it's not like it happened in the last 8 minutes. So.
Nah, but still, it still does have a flow-on effect throughout the game.
Yeah. It is a mindset thing, definitely. After that sort of thing, then it was sort of flat the rest of the game. Like that, look, the Sharks sort of bounced back and got a couple of tries, but just that sort of middle period after that, the game just plateaued just a little after the second half, I thought.
Both teams sort of started getting into the grind. I guess once again, it was a case of Cronulla not being able to wrap up the ball, pretty much like the Gold Coast on the first game of the round. Like, Canberra had 13 first half offloads and ended up with 22 by the end of the game. Like, I don't know whether that was a clear game plan to go out there and try and disrupt Cronulla that way to try and get some second phase play. Cronulla had three offloads, so clearly that wasn't in, you know, their sort of plans, and Canberra was sort of wrapping the ball up fairly well throughout most of this game. Once possession, I think, started to even up, then Canberra started to sort of get the ascendancy, I think, a little bit. It was just their ability to sort of be able to control the game. And, you know, Josh Hodgson has, you know, a massive role to play in that. Whiten was pretty good in this game as well, backing up after Origin. So, but like you said, yeah, the plateau in the game just sort of, yeah, just sort of fell short a little bit until, I guess, sort of the last 10 minutes or so when sort of Canberra put the game away.
Yeah, look, I was pretty impressed, I guess, with the I guess I can call him sort of a makeshift fullback in Xavier Savage. Little stocky looking little thing, really. He's a Queensland boy, which doesn't really surprise me. He just has that sort of stocky. No, well, it doesn't surprise me for that reason, because I'm a New South Welshman. Just because he has that sort of short, stocky sort of, I guess, sort of build from Cairns. You know, he's just a classic-looking Cairns boy, to be completely honest. So.
And he was impressive, but it's sort of come out as well that he's done an AC joint and he's done for the year. So that's a bit of a cruel blow for them again this year. Like, Canberra just cannot seem to be able to keep fullbacks healthy. They've got Caleb Akins there, in the torpedo tube, ready to go, I guess, as a makeshift, well, not a makeshift, but he is a fullback to carry on, I guess, with some solid fullback play. Even though this week, I'm pretty sure that Canberra have named Rapiner at fullback, so I think that's a bit of an odd move, considering that you've got Caleb Akins just sitting there ready to go. So we'll see how that sort of pans out next week with Canberra and with the Raiders. So
Rapiner's not too bad. We'll just take it as it comes. But they're not, Rapiner's not too bad, really.
No. But it's, and this was sort of, I think this was a game that, you know, will have a little bit of bearing on the eight. Yeah. Canberra getting the win.
This is a game they've had to win.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they've got, you know, they've got a couple of hard games, not so much coming up. They've got Parramatta, they've got Newcastle, and they've got the Dragons in the next 3 weeks. And then, you know, Storm and Eagles, and then the last round they've got the Roosters. So they really need to keep winning
Team, really, because we, you know, we, I guess, effectively, we pretty much sort of ruled them off because they were so terrible in the first half of this season. But they're sort of climbing.
Right. Still got some tough games coming up, though.
And, you know, and they've had sort of the injury toll and then disruptions galore. So, they're an interesting sort of team. You're right. They've still got tough games. And it's going to be, I guess, a little bit of a race for them to stay in the eight. But, I mean, really,
I think Cronulla's got a better chance just purely on a favourable draw. You know, Bulldogs, Eagles, Warriors in the next 3 weeks. So if you can win two out of those three, then you got the Knights, the Tigers, and the Broncos. So their destiny lies in their own hands. And then they got Melbourne. The only problem is if they're a fringe eight team, and then it comes down to the last round, they've got Melbourne in the last in round 25. So, but that's. They need to push hard now, so that last game doesn't have any bearing of them making the finals or not.
But then this is the same thing. This is a game that they needed to win. So, you know, you got an eighth versus ninth sort of thing. So it could go either way. I think, for the Raiders at least, it could push them that they would have won this game and they might have a little bit of a run possibly. I mean, yeah, right, they've got a harder draw, but we'll just have to wait and sort of see. You're right. I mean, the Shark, that once you sort of said it, the Sharks run isn't sort of too bad. I mean, yeah, if they're on even points and then they've got Melbourne in that last round, that's going to be a tall, tall task.
That's it. And then also, you know, when it comes down to that last round too, it's whether or not they start getting the strategic resting of players as well. You know, load management again towards the end of the season as a push towards, I guess, another grand final for Melbourne. So,
Wow. I mean, they're the next game. My God, they know how to pour points on.
Oh, my God. They're ruthless.
I know. 48-4 against the Knights. They are absolutely ruthless.
Ruthless aggression. But the only problem is, and the thing is, too, like, you know, Newcastle, they just gifted Melbourne the ball. Gifted them the ball so many times in that first half. They couldn't hang on to it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think I had it down here somewhere, but their error count was absolutely huge, I thought. Or at least in the first half, so they clawed it back. No, it was 13-12, so they caught in the full game, but they clawed it back, obviously, in the second half. But I don't know. Look, this is Newcastle I'm talking about. I don't, I know you'll just sort of put your hands up in the air because that's where I am with them. I don't, you know.
Injuries this year have really crueled, I guess, the potential for them to be a good team, because there's only been like once or twice this year that they've had the combination of I think it's of Ponga, Pierce,
sure.
And I think that, you know, and Tyson Frizzell, who was a bit of a, you know, a good off-season get for them.
Yeah.
Look, I really like their forward pack. I don't know what to say about the rest of their play. Like, they've got some young guys in the centers and on the wing. Like, they're down to their third and fourth string wingers. The big kid Dominic Young, he's very raw and you know, a sort of a project in the making. He's got some errors in his game, but boy, he's a unit. You've got Kalen Ponga there, who's got to be your spark, yeah, for this team. And look, when you run into a juggernaut like Melbourne, it sort of would take away some of his confidence.
What do you think of the, I guess, little bit of news that David Clemmer is sort of itching to move out or move on?
And that's disappointing to hear that. I guess he's sort of, I guess he's sick of the mediocrity. He feels that he can still contribute, and I think he still totally can contribute to.
I think he can,
you know,
too.
To a team that's the thing. It's whether or not, you know, he's getting a little bit later in his career now. He's like, well, you know,
he's 27, so he's still got that.
It just seems like he's been around for so long.
It does. Hey, yeah, I completely agree. When I looked at it, and I realized he was 27. I thought, oh, okay, I thought he was a lot older than that. It feels like
he's got so much more to offer.
I mean, last year he should have made the New South Wales Origin side because he was the best forward in the NRL.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and now he's
unbelievable.
Sort of, you know, you've still got great forwards down the side, Feedy Boys and Frizzell anyway. So it's not a bad.
So Sue, like they've got.
It's not a bad idea for Clarence.
Yeah, they've got a decent forward pack. You know, Fitzgibbon.
Yeah.
Guys like that, Mitch Barnett. Like they don't have a poor, Tyson Frizzell. They don't have a poor forward pack. At all, it's just the strike power they've got out wide. You know, Kurt Mann again is Mr. Fix-It playing in the centres. You know, Irani Tuala is a young good player. Hymel Hunt is, yeah, he can be on and off. It's just very strange that the way that this team sort of put together, and then you roll in, you know, with no Mitchell Pearce, you know, Phoenix Crossland is not quite up to sort of first grade standard. And then, you know, then you've got Jake Clifford, who's only been there a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Trying to steer the ship is tough. And somebody like Jaden Brayley as well, who's been outstanding all year. You know, I think he's been sort of overshadowed by the poor performances that Newcastle put together, because he plays really well in the middle.
Look, there's not much to say. You've already used the word, the only word I would have used for this game anyway, was that just Melbourne were ruthless. There's really not much to talk about, just how ruthless they were, really, honestly.
Yes. Well, yeah, once they stomp on you, they don't let the foot off.
No, they don't. They're primed. They should finish first. They just, yeah, they're just a force. They you know, they're easy, $2.50, they're easy. Easy favourites at the moment to win back to back. It feels so glaringly obvious.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, and Bellamy always has them up and ready for this time of year. You know, they should be getting Pappenhausen back in the next week or two. So, you get him coming back. You'd be, I guess, you know, for Nico Hines, you'd be. Not so much. You'd be happy that Pappenhausen is coming back and I guess healthy again, but that's going to drastically eat into his playing time. It's just one of those things where it's going to be next man up, and I would only assume that he's still going to be in that 17 somewhere.
Yeah, it's exactly. Well, it has to be exactly right.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
it's just right. It's just another great problem that we have to contend with. So
yeah, no, that's right. It sucks, but it's
no, it doesn't.
It is, but it is. It
sucks for every other team except for Melbourne. The next game was the first Sunday game. The Panthers beating the Warriors in Brisbane, 30-16. Obviously, a lead-in crowd because it was a decent crowd there, just under 25,000. Lead-in crowd for the Broncos game, which was straight
after.
Yeah,
leading crowd for Brisbane.
Which is fine. That's pretty.
They filed in.
So it's kind of good.
That's right. And look, it didn't get off to the best of starts. For the Warriors, like just having Townsend's kick, like first kick of the game, charged down, and then Viliami kick out just takes it to the house. Like it was unbelievable. It's just like, wow, you just could not get a worse start for the game.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting worse. Like the Warriors just kept losing player after player after player. You know, two of us, Ashek, got rattled hard. And he was playing at six. This is a funny thing about this game. He, even though he had the number five on his back, well, the number two, one of them, he was named at wing, but he was playing 5'8"
this
game, and Cody Nikorima was on the bench.
Yeah.
So I don't know where where Brownie, sometimes gets his tactics from. That just seems awfully strange to do that. So he's done with a HIA. So which is a good problem because you can just slot Nikorima straight back in.
Correct.
And you don't really lose a whole lot. But I just found that really odd. You know, Wade Egan went down with a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. Torhu Harris went down with a knee injury.
Yeah.
And by the end of the game, they had nobody on the bench.
Bench, yeah. Yeah, well, they had one because they didn't invoke that what's-his-name rule.
Well, they couldn't invoke the 18th man rule because the players weren't ruled out with HIA. It was
that's
only
right.
one.
They still had one.
That all injuries.
So, yeah, which is ridiculous. But anyway, you're right. I mean, you're right. It just compounded for them big time. I don't know. Chad Townsend... look, he's going to have to then move again.
I just want him to get all the garbage out of his game right now before he comes up here.
Because I think he's
get
just
it all out of you.
I feel I wouldn't say it's complete garbage, but I feel like
he's had two really really poor games
exactly
for the Warriors since he's gone there.
I totally agree, and that's exactly how I thought. I guess I thought the same. Same sort of like I wouldn't say masterclass, but Matt Burton was really good. But on the flip side, Tyrone May was a lot better in this game than any other game. He got three.
No, that's right, and that's been a big problem for Penrith with Luai and Cleary out has been the play of Tyrone May at the halfback position. But yeah, this was one of his better and more creative games that have seen him playing in the seven. So. That's a good thing for them sort of going forward. Luai's back, I think, next week. So that'll sort of help them out a little bit. Look, I thought they were really smart, especially in the second half with the way that they worked the Warriors side to side and just to try and gas them out because they knew that they only had one player on the bench basically for that whole second half. So they did a really good job of sort of spreading the balls, from sideline to sideline, just to make those guys work that little bit extra hard. And your middle forwards that would normally only play, maybe 45 to 50 minutes have got to put in the effort. They've got to play 55, 60, 65 minutes, which they're not used to doing.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of tied them out for them to sort of spring, a couple of late tries. And look, the Warriors, their effort didn't falter until maybe the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They were just completely out on their feet, but the game by then was already gone. Liam Martin and Charlie Steyn scored within 3 minutes of each other just before the last 10 minutes, and that sort of put the game that little bit out of reach for the Warriors.
Exactly what I thought, the same sort of thing. So they got a lot of consolation right at sort of the end there with Reece Walsh, but...
Yeah,
it was just too out. It was just too out of reach at the end of the day. So
it was too far gone.
Not a bad,
and that was just it. Look, and like I said, the Warriors showed some resolve.
Well, not a bad first game for Matt Lodge.
Yeah, look, I think he'll be fine over there. He's been paid out by the Broncos from what I've heard, which at this point in time makes him the richest man in rugby league, which is kind of scary. So, that's got to be such a massive desperation move by the Broncos to just want rid of you. We don't care how much money you've got left on your contract. Just go, just get out of here. Like that's not good. Like I get
Brisbane, could be the other way.
Well, they've got to go through their rebuilding phase somehow. But boy, that must be a nice money problem to have. To just go, whatever.
You got to do it. You got to do it. That's just the way it is. So.
Well, Benny Eichen's coming in there and he's cleaning house.
Oh well. I'm sure on 360. I'm sure when that whole Matt Lodge thing came out early in the piece before he was at Broncos. I'm sure he was vocal about, you know, about Broncos sort of having him and all that there. So he's probably just creating that sort of family-ish atmosphere, really. So that's, hey, if you're right, you have to rebuild somewhere. And if it's as ugly as it is, you've just got to, you know, start again. I mean, ironically.
You just got to rip the Band-Aid off. Just rip it off.
Ironically, it's still looking ugly. I mean, that is the next game. The Tigers just demolished them. In the second half, it was 42-24, the full-time score. But goddamn, the Tigers just smashed them in the second half.
Poured it on in the second half. Like that was, a more perplexing sort of game because boy, it was error riddled. Both teams really taking advantage of teams' errors.
Yeah.
And it just, how many times did Brisbane want to invite the Tigers back into the contest? Yeah. Like as they started to get a little bit of ascendancy and start to put on some points and then all of a sudden they make silly mistakes or give away some ridiculous penalties and it just like Adam Dewey had a field day. He had like five tries this. He was everything.
Adam Dewey wasn't everything here. Adam Dewey's I wouldn't say underutilized is probably not the word. He's trying to think of the word. What's underhyped? No, that's not the word. Where he's what's the word? When you sort of you're a good player, but I can't even think of the word. But
I think not so much underhyped, but I think he's sort of flown under the radar there a little bit at the Tigers, but just purely because he can't sort of nail down one spot. Like I don't know where Maguire thinks he's best. You know, we said it last year. Why the hell are we moving? Why are they moving him away from fullback? He was terrific at fullback last year for the Tigers.
But Dan Murray's been pretty good.
He's been in the halves. He's been in the centers. It's I don't know whether he can't find a spot for him there, but he's really got to try and nail down one of these half spots. He's doing it well.
Yeah, he did in this game. I mean, look, Dan Murray. I don't know why at the start of the year, but Dan Laurie's been pretty good in that number one. So it's kind of.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's right. You know, whether it was that they'd seen that coming in preseason, and have sort of gone right. We've got Dane Laurie here now from the Panthers. It's just a natural progression that they're going to move Dewey into the halves.
TC Rabadi, 5 minutes and then sort of and then gone, sort of. Oh my God, yeah, just another. For lack of a better word, shit show that's happening in the Broncos. Not his fault.
No, that's right. And look, the player that sort of, I guess, that's come back in the last couple of weeks in Katoni Staggs to sort of provide a little bit of spark for them, sort of spluttered a bit in this game. Like, you know, that he needs to get his hands more on the ball and whether or not they're going to, if they're going to continue with him in the centers or give him the number six jersey, which from what I've heard, they've promised him. To keep him at the club, so
I think try it now. Why not?
You might as well. Like, what are you gonna Brisbane, lose? Brisbane, you know, their sort of run home, is okay, but it's not the best. Like, you know, they're sort of languishing in 15th there a little bit. So, you know, they've got the Panthers next week, which that's rough. But yeah, they've still got some. Yeah, they've got winnable games. Like, yeah, North Queensland also, up here, the
they
Knights.
They also can't keep relying on, like, Payne Haas just come back and top the run metres for the forwards. I mean, the backs are different, but for the forwards, you've got 148 metres in 64 minutes. He's the only forward, you know, doing it. That's their biggest problem is their forward pack.
That's why I thought it was a strange move to let Lodge go. Like, why wouldn't you just keep him to the till the end of the season? Or they're just like, nah, we've had really. Enough of this. Let's go.
When have they been talking about forwards at all? You know, they're another one with a dummy half. I'm not fully sold on Jake Turpin, but they're, you know, their backline is okay and they're getting players next year, but, you know, it's their forward pack that's more concerning, except for Payne Haas, of course. Really? Yeah.
No, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. I think they need to go out there unless they have some good young kids there, you know, Flegler and Bullymore. Yeah. Reece Kennedy, that are guys there. I think that they could be the future, but you'd still, Payne Husser isn't an old head. So
Clemmer would be awesome.
You're still going to carry on. Alex Glenn has even come out and said that he may not even play next year.
Yeah. So I could see Clemmer there at 27 being a bit of a leader and sort of, you know, depending if he wants to move out of New South Wales, but
if the cash is there for him to move, then, you know, that could be a good part of the rebuilding process.
It looks like Bulldogs have about $5 million worth of cash to spend on every.
Oh my God, they are splashing the cash.
They're the next game. They did go down to the Rabbitohs 32-24, but goddamn, every week it feels like they're in the mix of every single player, or they've signed every player. So they're going to be
clearly they've got the cap space.
They're going to be very interesting next year. Extremely interesting. Well, it's funny we say the cap space because they have had it. They're letting go of a lot of big, you know, overpaid sort of players in Will Hopper Whiting and everything like that. So they do have
Kieran
the space.
Kieran Foran last year was costing them like $1.1 million.
Hopper Whiting is just he's 900,000. So,
that look, same thing again. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Just
and haven't and they ripped go, it off? Go. Sort of went, well, let's just buy every player and then just check them in and then see what Barrett's going to do. Barrett's going to have to really, you can't say 1 year, but he's going to have to next year. He's going to have to prove at least to make the top eight next year to justify all this.
Well, it's right. They're in the same boat as Newcastle. All the potential in the world, but can they live up to it?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about who may help them, you know, I guess outside actually rugby, for rugby league, but outside off the field instead of on the field. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Rabbitohs, I don't know.
Canterbury totally had them worried.
Correct. Yeah. It was again, the theme of this, where the Bulldogs were up again, 2 points up, and then again, came out a little bit flat-footed in that sort of second half. I mean, they were very competitive for the rest of it compared to the other teams, but the Rabbitohs just know how to find that line, especially Alex Johnson.
Oh, yeah,
my
that's
God.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And, yeah, they're like, you know, Alex Johnson, and he played, what, 45 minutes of this game or whatever, and did we totally put the hex on him after talking about him in the last couple of weeks, or could he possibly challenge, you know, maybe getting to the Ken Irvine, you know, unobtainable record, and now he's gone for a month. I'm pretty sure it's with a hamstring injury. So
no, he'll be right. He'll come back and still score another, you know, 20 tries in six games. So it's all good.
Oh yeah, no, that's true. But I found it extremely odd that after we sort of heap a lot of praise on him about his try scoring feats and his try scoring record and how close he is to overtaking. Yeah, Nathan Merritt is as the most tries for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and yeah, boom, down he goes for a month. So, but he still ended up scoring two tries in this game anyway, and that's all that sort of that really sort of counts. But this game sort of got into a bit of a second half wrestle, and that's just at the moment that's just something that you don't want to do with Canterbury at the moment. Like they're getting, you know, down and dirty and really grinding teams into the mud to try and bring them as bad as it sounds to bring them down to their level, but they're not sitting on the bottom of the ladder with two wins for no reason.
Although Cody Walker took control of this sort of game pretty well. He controlled it to his pace and his style and everything. You could just, it was glaringly obvious He knew when to run the ball at the right time. You know, he was able to sort of assist the tries when he needed to. Yeah, he was, you know, for me, he was stepping onto sort of my dart of the week. He just controlled that game in the second half for them to sort of win it, I thought.
Yeah, and that's what the big guns have got to do there. When the team looks like that they aren't playing very well, and you know are much, you know, they're heavily fancied against the opposition, then guys that when they can see that they're getting dragged down, guys like him and Adam Reynolds and that they've got to really knuckle down and try and drag their team over the victory line.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. So, unfortunately, I mean, look, I'm encroaching on two of mine. So that was my starter, and I may as well sort of move on to my dud of the week, just because it was glaringly obvious. I mean, for some reason, right at halftime, I think it was apparently Cody Walker said to Lachlan Lewis that, oh, maybe you should go back to second grade. So Lachlan Lewis decided to do like a Conor McGregor sort of takedown.
Which isn't the worst sledge that's gone around. So I don't know what sort of upset him that much, and they were both sort of smiling at each other, and then you see the Fox Sports vision of Lachlan Lewis sort of giving a little bit of a butt love tap to Cody Walker, and I think he sort of turned around and pretty much said, you know, get away from me or don't touch me or something like that. And then the whole, you know, off you go back to reserve grade sort of comment happened. And then, yeah, it was a bit of a, to me, it was they were both sort of smiling at each other. I had visions of The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, where they're both sort of smiling and laughing at each other on the mat. And that's what these two did. And then all of a sudden, Lachlan Lewis just goes, oh, no, I'm just going to tackle you to the ground. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I had no idea. And then for some reason, it looked like Lachlan Lewis was smiling when he did it.
He was.
So I don't.
He had a massive smile on his face.
I don't get it. And then he got Simbin right in the half time, which is even better. I love it. That's. That's such a dud thing, but it was still hilarious. I don't care. It kind of, you know, probably,
I've got exactly the same thing for a dud.
It probably kind of ruined their second half chances, really.
It did.
I think so. Yeah. No.
That was just enough, you know, just enough time for the Rabbitohs to sort of get enough ascension in that game to keep the Bulldogs away for long enough for them to sort of really have to push hard, you know, in that last sort of 15 minutes to try and get a win. And the Rabbitohs are just too professional, I guess, to sort of let the bottom side, like the Bulldogs, sort of get over that's them right. in a bit of a boil yep. over.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's how it sort of, I guess, panned out for them. I mean, we touched a little bit on the stud and the dud, but what's I'm not going to really talk about the Bulldogs, but what's the Rabbitohs run home look like? Sort of not too bad.
Look, I think the Rabbitohs have got. Look, they're
fully entrenched
in the.
Oh, they're
in
fully
the top
entrenched
four here. So yeah, exactly. Look, they're not going to do. Well,
they got Dragons next
too
week.
Much. What are they? They're third Deals. Sitting at the moment. So look, they have got. To me, they have got a very, very favourable run home. The next 3 weeks are the Warriors, the Dragons, and the Eels. Okay. So all very winnable games. Then they got the Gold Coast. Then they sort of come up in round 23 and round 24 against the the Panthers and the Roosters. So that'll be their sort of test going into the finals. And then in round 25, they've got the Dragons. So some tests, there's still some testing games there. It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. And if they can pull off,
I mean,
if they can pull off wins against either the Roosters or the Panthers, then you know that'll
probably throw the Dragons in that mix, because they'll probably be fighting for that top eight position possibly.
No, that's right.
Well,
that could be a real dogfight in that last round,
that last game. So. Don't worry about talking about the Bulldogs. I mean,
no,
really,
but I was just going to say, where can you see them getting a win out of these next couple of games? So next week, you got the Sharks.
Possibly.
Week after that, the Gold Coast.
Again,
I'm totally penciling that in for a win. I don't know why. I'm totally penciling that in for a win.
Possibly. Keep going.
Yeah, then they got the Tigers. Yeah, that's potential.
That's another the potential. Warriors. Another potential. These are all bottom eight sides.
The Knights. Another bottom eight side. These are teams that I follow, and they've just been in games that you want them to win. They're ordinary, and so against the Knights, I'm totally penciling that in for a game as well.
But this is all bottom eight for a win so far.
And then they have got the Eagles and the Tigers.
Eagles, no, but then the Tigers, they could hurt.
They played the Tigers twice in the last five rounds, which whoever did the draw this year is. It doesn't make any sense. So many times this year they've had teams play each other twice within 4 or 5 weeks. That's ridiculous.
They could have a decent run home, and the Broncos could have a huge chance of again getting the wooden spoon again, possibly.
No, see, that's what I mean. See, the Broncos, you know, they've got tough guys. They play the Knights twice in the last five rounds.
Oh, okay.
You know, they've got the Panthers next week. The Roosters thrown in there as well. The Sharks again. The Warriors, so look, they're a tipster's nightmare, really.
They're both of those two teams are a tipster's nightmare. I've already touched on my stud and dud just in that last game, and you just had your dud as well. What about your stud?
Look, Nico Hines again was just 20 just points. Outstanding.
He's got the funniest run up for a kick too. I love it. I mean, it's not funny.
It's a real stab too. Like nothing. Yeah.
He's just like it's like two steps and then see you later, and he gets the length to and everything. I love it.
He's got plenty of power on them long legs. Don't worry about that.
Now we're gonna have to frigging put up with unless someone else comes out in the next probably frigging Cameron Munster next year kicking again. God damn it.
Oh, that's gonna be killing brutal. That is gonna be killing unless he gets the kicking boots on over the off season.
Again, Nico Hines, you know, proving why he needed that money from the Broncos and got it from the Sharks. That was just simple. Absolutely simple. I don't get it.
Like how could, that would have been such a huge signing for Brisbane.
Yeah. Yeah. He 100% would have been great.
And he could be straight up fullback. Bam. There's your fullback solved.
Stags, 5'8", you know,
that's right. That's such a good fit for Brisbane and for them to not so much low ball, but you know, for them to not really come to the table cash wise, I think it was a mistake.
And you know, he's been hovering around that sort of Origin camp this year.
It's only going to make him better.
Well, and Fitzgibbon, who's part of the Origin camp as well, you know, and he's going to be his coach next year, so he could ascend to big heights possibly. So.
I guess we'll find out next year whether he plays in the halves or whether he plays fullback.
Oh, I think he'll play fullback personally. We'll finish on some news. I mentioned the Bulldogs before about getting someone to help him off the field, and it has come out that Phil Gould has tended or finished up with the Warriors and has gone back to his old stomping ground of the Bulldogs.
I guess this is the Bulldogs, I guess, sort of doing what it takes to not be the cellar dwellers anymore. You know, they're really trying to rebuild that club with some astute signings of what they've got coming into the club next year. This is to sort of establish those junior pathways and grassroots pathways to sort of make their junior system a little bit better than what's been. So, look, I think it's a good way to go for Gus to sort of come. Like he just couldn't get his hands dirty enough, I think, with the Warriors just due to COVID, couldn't get over to New Zealand a lot, to try and instill those pathways and those juniors over there that I guess wanted him to do over there. Which kind of sucks for the Warriors, but I guess now he won't really have to worry about the health and well-being of Reece Walsh anymore.
No, well that's true. Good point.
Well, he was the one that boo-hooed about, you know, just throwing this kid to the wolves for Origin. Queensland is just disgustingly weak. Oh, blah blah. Shut up.
I think he was the one that. It's funny because I think he was
self-involved.
Well, I think, and it's funny because I think he was the one that sort of advocated for them to get Reece Walsh. So that was, it's funny, like,
yeah,
ironically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
Any other news before we finish up?
Look, I think that there's some, you know, well, we started off the pod with rumors floating around, but this one's not really. This one had been a rumor, but now it's sort of come to fruition that Tevita Pengai Jr. has signed for Penrith for the rest of the season. Now, 2 days before this signing, I thought was extremely funny that the Penrith Panthers boss, you know, football boss, had come out on Sydney radio and addressed these rumours that, you know, is it possible that Tevita Pengai Jr. could be coming to the club? And basically his quote said, that signing does not make sense for us. And then 2 days, later, that he's come out and, or yeah, that they've signed it for the rest of the season. So, you know, a little bit of smoke and mirrors there, I guess. But look,
yeah,
another impact player for them. How they can use him off the bench, I don't know, because they've already got
another Broncos.
Well, they've already got Viliami Kikau there as their sort of impact second roller. So yeah. I don't know how he gets used there.
He's probably just covering injuries and all that, but he's going into the Bulldogs next year anyway. That's
right. Yeah, he's signed now. I think that's official now that he signed for the Bulldogs.
Another Broncos forward cleared out by Aiken. So
that's what I mean. He's not mucking around at all.
Nah, that's good. I think, you know, that he should. He knows what he wants, and that's fine. You may as well start now. You know where the season
that's right.
is.
And it's the fact of whether or not he gets what he wants. So, well, yeah, like we've said before, you know, that Brisbane have actually got to go out and actually do some recruiting and do some wooing for people to come to the club and not just them be bashing down the door and lining up outside of Red Hill, you know, to clamoring to try and get into a Broncos uniform. It just doesn't happen like that now.
They're probably going to, for some players, like they lowball Nico Hines, that just probably realizes them now that they're going to have to pay overs for what they think players
are
available.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Every club bought up that Nico one. So,
look, I guess another Broncos discard that's sort of come into the news a little bit lately as well is Anthony Milford possibly going to Parramatta for the rest of the season. So that hasn't been official just yet, but yeah, that's definitely one on the rumor mill
also
at the moment. I guess sort of another injury cover, I guess, or maybe an impact player off the bench.
And floating around possibly the Rabbitohs next year, possibly as well, because obviously they'll have no Adam Reynolds. So
that's right, no Adam Reynolds. So
he probably will go from $1 million down to $300,000. But anyway, that's what he has to do.
Well,
so.
And that's what it looks like. Ash Taylor can't even get any nibbles.
Yeah,
$300,000-$350,000 a season. Oh. So I don't know what's going to happen there. Whether or not he's going to stick with the Gold Coast, maybe on a 1 year deal, or I don't know. I don't know what happens to him either. But apparently he's not getting any nibbles at $300,000-$350,000 for next year. That's not good.
Talk about fall from grace as well. Just before we finish, the other one was getting shopped around with Kyle Flanagan over at the English clubs.
Oh my God! That's just
fall from grace. Huge fall from grace.
What did he do?
I don't think he's done anything personally. I think obviously they just he mustn't be as good as we think or we thought he was when he was at the Roosters at the start, at least. I don't know what happened. I have no idea. He would go
to the Super League and kill it.
He could kill it for a few clubs that I can rattle off right now.
But that's the thing. Like, put Sam Walker.
Yeah.
At the Bulldogs. See how well he goes there.
Yeah.
You know, as a youngster.
But I don't
know what I mean. Like, that's so unfair.
I don't
unfair.
Know what happened with him at the Roosters. I thought he was okay in that season. I have
he
no
was.
Idea what happened with him.
He was totally their scapegoat.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I don't get it. Anyway, that'll do it for this NRL pod. Don't forget to follow our socials, Twitter at Final Play Pod, as well as Facebook, which is Final Play Podcast. I mean, the other one you can follow, of course, is Spotify, because you can give a like straight away or a follow. On Facebook, you'll see all our pods, obviously, all the links for it to SoundCloud, to Spotify, and also you can also get them if you're into trading cards in eureka.com.au. No, gimco.com.au. It's Eureka Cards. My bad. Sorry,
yeah, Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. Gimco.com.au. They're always great to us. Shout out to Dom and Mojo King, always do a good job there. They always give us some shout outs on the start of their card breaks and stuff, so it's always appreciated. And we're getting some new listeners through that platform as well, which is good. So, shout out to those new people that are finding us for the first time. So, welcome and thanks for listening. So it's a big platform and it's a big community.
I love some feedback from those guys too. I think there's a feedback thread on there, or like a little thread where you can comment too. Because I have
Just chuck us.
I would love if it's negative, because I would thrive. Not that I'm going negative back. I just want to hear any feedback. So
something you want
to listen to. We can delve in on. Well, we're not going to delve in AFL because we're not experts in AFL, but we can delve into other things if there's something else you want to listen to in terms of sports. So we're not going to delve in AFL, sorry, because we don't know enough, and we're just completely honest about that. We don't know enough to help. We don't know what we would be talking about with that. So,
but no, that's what I mean. Like we started off, you can tell by some of the stuff that we talk about. We definitely love our wrestling. We've done podcasts in the past on cricket. So, we've got a little bit of range. Do you know what I mean?
we could do like a Marvel, like ranking of Marvel movies for an hour. Just the best, 10 best to worst Marvel movies. That'd be interesting.
Does that mean we have to watch them again? Because I'll totally do that.
Of course you have to watch them. I know I can't rank everyone that's been out, but we could pick our top 10 or top 5 and just talk about that. That's actually not a bad one. I might talk about that off the air.
Look, they're just going from strength to strength at the moment with just everybody is just buying in for Disney Plus and these new TV series.
I don't know if you've seen, just to finish, I don't know if we have, but I don't know if anybody out there has seen Black Widow and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but there's definitely a big name actress that's pops up in that talking about buying into it, a huge actress that I didn't think would ever be in one of those kind of movies. Huh. So,
she doesn't
have
those,
who it is, so
I guess those superhero credentials, and we're not saying that she's a superhero or not, but it's I think that's a huge get for Disney and Marvel Studios to pick this person up, a bit of a blast from the past, so to speak. So
90s star. So there you go.
90s comedy star. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, so. She's a comedy star forever. She's been a comedy star for 20 years. She's been in every good TV show.
She made her stamp. I think the TV show she was on was pretty successful in the 90s.
I've heard of it a couple of times. So.
I've heard of it.
Giving it away. Yeah, all right.
I'm pretty sure I've heard of it, but I don't think I've watched every episode. Maybe 10 times, but I'm not sure.
Well, I'm ending in that. My name's Jason, 181 episode Smith. If that gives anything away.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
I said 181 episodes.
Don't give it away. But
we'll talk about that off the air. I think that'll be good if we rank our top 10 sort of Marvel movies.
Top five
maybe Marvel movies. That could be very interesting and very good discussion, actually. So it's already clicking.
Yeah, no, the brain's turning over. I don't know if you can hear that through the microphone, but you can hear my brain sort of turning over a little bit. It's making like a very large
hitting with this.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Yeah, monkey clamming, monkey slapping cymbals together. That's pretty.
Oh, love it.
Look, I guess we'll sign off as Miles and Monkey slapping cymbals together. Plum.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
See ya.